The Stateside Soccer Show, talking the beautiful game in the land of the free. Breaking down Major League Soccer, US Men's National Team, and more with Logan and Jordan.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How are you today, Logan?
Whoa, that was a wild change, huh? Jordan just...
I forgot to change my background.
I know. If you're not on the YouTube, Jordan just went from a Star Wars podcast that we just recorded to all of a sudden he's in Subaru Park. I didn't know that they let you in there to record Star Wars, too. I know they let you in to record this one, but...
Yeah, and sometimes they let you in on a Saturday, and then the rain cancels the game.
So. Yeah, Jordan, you're a lot more dry, I think, this Sunday. You're not as waterlogged. Yeah. Oh, man. But doing well. Weekend. I love the weekends. So it's always a lot of
Me
fun.
Me too. Right? I especially love this weekend. Because
I was going to say, you don't work.
It's going to last another 5 days.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going on vacation. So
Where are you going, Jordan?
I don't know. I was thinking of going down and visiting a friend that I podcast with.
But okay, yeah.
They weren't available, so I guess I'll see you instead.
Jeez, ouch.
We're recording this on Sunday, so before the games that take place on Sunday, this episode will drop probably today. I'm going to probably just do a quick edit on this and throw it up there. So if anything happens in those two Sunday games, we'll talk about it when I come back, and we'll cover it then. If anything like big happens, we'll probably just talk the score. If nothing big happens, like earth shattering happens, but I don't know. Do you think anything big's happening in these games today?
I think both teams have played midweek in Cincinnati and Orlando, so I think it'll be kind of a rotated squad.
And New England.
Oh, sorry, and New England. I'm so sorry, New England.
So Atlanta should get the win here, because like the other three teams are going to be
exhausted. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I guess real quick, let's just talk about the CONCACAF Champions League here. Champions Cup. Sorry. Champions Cup. Union had their biggest loss ever, 6-0. That was not a dream. Not a nightmare, I guess, because that really happened. And then this, I did not actually podcast about it yet. It felt like I did. I woke up and told Logan yesterday, I had a dream that we already talked about that whole game. Ripped him to shreds. So I'm not really going to go into through it here, because I actually don't feel that bad about it, really. I mean, it was like, once it was 2-0, kind of felt like it was over, and I'm sure the players were like, yeah, this is done, and just kind of see it out, whatever. I don't think anything big has to change for Philly, not to spoil anything with what happened this weekend, but it's just, it happens sometimes. Pachuca's a good team. I don't know what else to tell you guys. Like, it happens. I saw a lot of Union fans very upset, calling for changes. Ownership needs to spend. I agree with that. I think ownership does need to spend some money on this core, but I don't know. I didn't really see us winning CCC anyway, so why not just get knocked out now and hopefully be able to start putting together better league results? That's what I hope for. Tigres beat Orlando 4-2. Right, that was after a 0-0 at Orlando, so 4-2 at Tigres.
Yep.
And Columbus-Houston finished 1-1. Columbus moved on from the previous leg of that. Miami beat Nashville 3-1. A lot of people were picking Nashville to go through. Miami said, hold on, don't count us out. And I feel bad that I voted against Miami in that poll now, because, you know, it is what it is, right? Suarez scored, Messi scored, Taylor scored. They went off 3-1, over Nashville. New England moved on from a 1-1 draw in the second leg, and Monterey beat Cincinnati. So the three teams moving on are New England, Miami, Columbus. So there you have it. And when do they play those games? Is that a break?
I feel like there's a smaller break. April 3rd and the 10th for Miami and Monterey, and then leg one of April, or Club America and New England, April 2nd and 9th. Tigre and Columbus, 2nd and 9th, and then I can't find the other one. The other ones, I guess they just don't play.
Sounds good.
There's no graphic. That's so weird. There's three graphics, and the other one does not exist. I don't know where. I don't know if they forgot to tweet it or where the hell it went. But
probably forgot to tweet it.
No idea. There's only six teams, so I have no idea when the other three teams or the other two teams play.
Yeah, so just wanted to do a quick update on the CONCACAF Champions Cup there, since we're probably not doing a separate episode of that since vacation and all that stuff. So there you go. Three teams. We'll preview that, I guess, as it gets closer. We got a bit. But they did announce a roster for the U.S. Men's National Team. They have Nations League match against Jamaica on March 21st. So let's go through that first. We have goalkeepers, Drake Callender, Ethan Horvath, and Matt Turner. Defenders, Sergino Dest, Christopher Lund, Mark McKenzie, Tim Ream, Chris Richards, Anthony Robinson, Miles Robinson, Joe Scally. Midfielders, we have Tyler Adams, Johnny Cardoso, Luca Della Torre, Weston McKinney, Yunus Musa, Gio Reyna. Forwards, we have Balogun, Pepe, Pulisic, Sargent, Tillman, and Weah. Now, Sargent did just come up yesterday with a goal and an injury. He had hurt his ankle, it sounds like. So I don't know if that's going to change what happens with the roster or if it's just like a little knock or something. But I'm pretty sure I just saw Josh Sargent had an ankle injury after scoring yesterday. I also saw a stat that he scored like 10 league goals, which is number one in like, what was that? Number one in the Europe or something? From January 1st to now?
Really? I didn't see that.
Let me find it. It was presented by Opta Jack. Okay. Josh Sargent has scored 10 league goals for Norwich since January 1st, more than any other player in the top four tiers of English football. There you go. That's good. Okay. So, yeah. He's got a little bit of a knock, so we'll see if that affects anything. I haven't heard anything about his U.S. roster implications. Pretty strong lineup, though, right? Pretty strong roster. I feel like there's not too much to be said about it. Any shocks for you?
Maybe Callender? I think Drake earned it. I think the other shout was Zach Steffen, but Zach Steffen hasn't been better than Drake Callender. Drake Callender's been pretty good. I think Horvath and Turner are pretty much a staple in the side. I think this is one of the strongest. Tyler Adams is back, which he hasn't played since the World Cup with U.S. Men's National Team. It's been that long. Johnny Cardoso has played extremely well. So at Real Betis, so I'm excited to see what he does. I think that's a good one. Jordan, I think the other ones people were kind of questioning, and I get the questioning and I get the concerns. Gio Reyna, because he hasn't played at Nottingham Forest much. He's played like 30 some minutes total in like six matches or five matches, and it's not been great experience for him. But the way that he played in November in their camp, I think that is what Greg pointed to and alluded to is the reason why he's in. Are you shocked? Maybe we get to see them now that Josh Sargent, I always have a hard time saying that name because it's so ish. It's hard. But Sargent. Yeah. Josh Sargent going down. I think Jordan might allow for either Haji Wright or Brandon Vasquez. I'm kind of shocked that neither of them, but I think because the other ones have been playing, I think because they have confidence that Balogun and Pepe and Timothy Weah and Sargent are going to be those guys going forward. I think that's what Greg banks on, where I don't know if he really necessarily sees Haji or Brandon but the way those two have been scoring, that's the only reason why I was kind of shocked that at least one of them didn't make the roster.
Well, I'll say I'm not shocked about Reyna.
I
don't care if he's not playing at Nottingham or not. He's one of our best creative players. We're going to call him it. Will he be as sharp because he's not playing? No. Is that why I was against the Nottingham move to begin with? Yes. Whatever, it's just a loan. He'll probably be able to reset himself in the summer, get somewhere better, hopefully, and be able to play. That's the goal for Reyna.
The union could be looking for it.
I think some people have gone too far the other way with that, where they're like, oh, he's another Freddie Adu. It's like, no, like... it's not that bad
yet. He's been in bad situations. I think he's just been in bad situations, to be honest with you.
Yeah, with either injury or like...
Dortmund wasn't playing well.
So many players ahead of him.
Yeah.
Nottingham, I don't think he really fits English football that much. And then the fact that he's playing for a team that's fighting, you know, and can't take the risk of playing him at times, it's rough.
Just go play at PSV. That's where all the other Americans are. Or Milan.
Yeah. I don't know. Go to
Milan. Would be perfect for him. Like, I
probably
think...
could play in Italy.
Yeah.
But no, so I'm not shocked about Reyna. You can't always go off form, right? There's a little bit of calculation. Some players are going to get called in for form. Mm-hmm. Some players are going to get called in for how they fit. Could you imagine the shit show, really, if they left Reyna off of there? People would be saying Greg has a vendetta. Yep. It's a lose-lose with Gio. Yeah, it's a lose-lose, exactly. I think most people are fine with Reyna getting called in. Strikers, I think... These are like the three we came up with, right? When we were talking about the three
future
on our State of the Union. So, of course, those are three you're calling in. This is a Nations League against Jamaica. It's not a guaranteed win. It should be a win, but it's not a guaranteed win. Jamaica plays well. We've lost to them before. Mm-hmm. Like, we need our biggest guns to come here and play. I wouldn't call in Vasquez. I wouldn't. I don't like dislike him, but he hasn't really gotten that much time with the U.S. team to begin with, and just him in to even for injury, I feel like would be rough. I'd go with somebody like Haji Wright or somebody that has played with this team before, more recently, you know, more frequently, I guess, than Brandon Vasquez. I mean, how many call-ups did Vasquez have? Doesn't feel like a lot.
I feel like it's like three or four.
So I'd probably go with somebody that's been more ingrained with the national setup recently.
That's a good point. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I think it when you're building up, especially because they're building up to Copa this summer. Like, I think he's looking forward into the summer, going, who am I going to be using? Who's going to be fresh? Who's going to be I think is going to be the top three? And the more that you leave, and another thing that you got to think about is the more that you leave some of these players out, even though they're not in great form, Jordan, that the more you leave them out of camp, the harder it is going to be for them to get back into the situation as far as like building with this team. So I think that's what the U.S. has really struggled with, I think, is building that consistency, because they've had some injuries, because, you know, you and I talked about this coming out of COVID, like they had a hard time building any kind of consistency leading into 2022 because there were guys hurt constantly. And now I feel like they've got a really healthy roster and they've got some of those depth pieces where, like, you know, you don't see a lot of these shockers with England where they're like, all of a sudden there's some random player that gets thrown into camp because he's played well. No, they stay pretty consistent with the players that they're bringing to. And I think building up to Copa with some of the top talent that they're getting ready to face in like a Jamaica who could ultimately be a problem in CONCACAF originally, if you're not, you know, if you're fighting for qualification, which they're not. But same thing, they're getting ready to play Brazil. They're going to jump into Copa this summer. I think I tweeted this. I think this is the best roster I think Greg's put together so far.
U.S. men's national team under 23s are going to be in Europe next week. They have two March friendlies as they prepare for the Olympics. So here's their roster, which will face Guinea on March 22nd and France on March 25th. Patrick Schulte in goal, and Gabriel Slonina are in goal. Defenders, George Campbell, Maximilian Dietz, Nathan Harriel, Brian Reynolds, John Tolkien, Jonathan Tomkinson, Caleb Wiley. Midfielders, Paxton Aronson, Gianluca Busio, Daniel Edelman, Jack McGlynn, Aiden Morris, Tanner Tessman. Forwards, Esmir Bajraktarevic, Cade Cowell, Yohan Gomez, Diego Luna, Duncan McGuire, Kevin Paredes, and Griffin Yao. Pretty good lineup. I'm actually amazed that Gianluca Busio is still able to.
I know. I thought he was at least 24 or 5. Like, how old is he? It is funny, though, because, like, of how young they are typically when they start. Like, Paxton
Aaron. He broke in at, like, 17. Yeah. So
I think they all have, like, 16, 17.
He's 22. Paxton's... He was born in 2002.
That's insane.
So he's 21 because he's born in May.
Yeah. But, man, Jordan, talk about a lot of MLS and a lot of players we're really excited about, too. Like, we've talked about Tolkien. We've talked about Quinn. Jack McGlynn. We've talked about Aiden Morris, Diego Luna, Duncan McGuire, Esmer. Yeah. Esmer's been killing it with the Revs. Like, Patrick Schulte, like, could have a really good path going forward because I think he's that next generation of goalkeepers, and he's been phenomenal with the Crew. Sonina had played in MLS, you know. It just – Nathan Harriel, like, gosh, this team is – I'm so excited for this summer. Like, I know we'll probably talk about it, but
yeah, Olympics and all that.
Yeah, this will be really exciting to get to see the young guys play.
Yeah. All right. Ready to move on to the MLS match day?
Yeah.
What is it? Five?
Match day five. Yeah.
Okay.
Week four, match day five.
All right. So the first five matches had red cards, which is either an indictment on the replacement refs or on VAR or on the players. I don't know which one. Some of them are pretty standard red cards, though, so I feel like you can't be too harsh on the refs in that case. But all right, this was nuts. All right, Chicago Montreal, let's start with this game. 7 goals in this game. I was at lunch. I was eating lunch with my wife, and I'm like, oh, Montreal is winning 3-1. And I was like just reading stats to her, and I was like, you know, because I was telling her about how we vote for player of the match day, and I'm like, oh, this person might win player of the match day with their 2 goals. And she's like, is that all you look at? I was like, no, I look at other stuff, but like, it's, you know, like one of the things you got to look at is goals. You have to look at assists. You have to look at, you know, saves as goalkeepers, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, 3-1. All right, yeah. And I think I showed her the score or something. And then it got to 3-2. And I was like, oh, I didn't really mention it to her. Then 3-3. I was like, wow, like they tied this thing late, Joy. 90 plus 4. That's crazy. I put my phone away, not thinking anything of it. I pull my phone back out like 5 minutes later. I'm like, 90 plus, what was it? 90 plus 10 or something? 90 plus 9? The winning goal? I was like, holy crap, they won. She's like, no way. And I'm like, yeah, I Googled to see what this goal looks like. And oh boy, this was a goal. We'll talk about that in a second. You know, I know a lot of people, I think, in the stadium and maybe even people on TV. I saw a lot of people tweeting out about how they're not sure what caused Raheem Edwards to get the red card. If you watch the highlights now, they have it really circled. He does like elbow somebody like right in the stomach off the ball. To me, that is a red card. Just like randomly, like it wasn't like they're both going for something. It was just like, I think that player did do something to him, but not as extreme. And then he was like, boom, elbow, and they caught it on VAR or something and gave him a red card. Okay, so this is how the goal happened. 99th minute, this is the goal. Chris Brady passing it to Kellen Acosta. It looks like he is, I don't know where he's trying to put this ball. Because nobody's corner flag. There.
Like, yeah. Corner flag is where he's trying to hit it back in that area. Because that's where all the attacking players were heading, towards that back corner.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. But the wind... Okay. The way Andrew Wiebe described this, too, is funny. So, apparently, they had 40-mile-an-hour wind gusts. But they were the strongest in the city at that exact time of this pass. I'm going to call it a pass. Okay.
It was. Yeah.
Which is just very unfortunate luck for Montreal. Very good luck for Chicago. What also sucks is that the Montreal goalkeeper goes up for it and just misplays it. I don't know. It hits off his hand because he's going backwards. He's out of position. Hits off his hand and just goes backwards into the goal. And kind of reminiscent, my friend said, of the Tim Howard goal with the wind assist. If you look up that in the Premier League, I think it was, or a cup game back then, he kicked it from a goal kick and the wind just carried into the other goal. Very similar to this, but except for the goalkeeper kind of played an active part in this, trying to save it, and it just went right into the goal. Really, really brutal way to lose. Montreal is pissed, by the way, for how much time they've had. I don't know. I think they had 20 minutes, 10 at the end of the first half and 10 at the end of the second half. I'm not sure why that time was added on, but the Montreal coach, Montreal team, the players, they were very pissed at the refs on that. And it may have cost them a game. And they've had a really great start to the season. And it really took them an act of God to lose a game here.
It was unbelievable. I find it fascinating too that they went into the 84th minute, Jordan, and it was still 3-1.
The penalty in the 84th minute. Yeah.
And it comes 2 minutes after Raheem Edwards. You cannot do this. Like, and we've been over this over and over again, Jordan, where it seems like in this league, it's notorious for people just, they lose their head and then you get a red card. You just give the team one, you give the team an advantage with the man down, but you give them the fire and not, no pun intended, but you give them the fire. You ignite the team. Like, of course they're going to be pissed that Raheem Edwards just flat out blatantly just elbows the guy right in the stomach. And it goes back to just wondering what exactly you're thinking. And guys in this league that are successful, Raheem Edwards has been kind of on that cuff and that outside looking in. And this is some of the decisions that he makes. This is why, like, this is a, you know, a costly error on a team that had been playing so well. 5 straight games on the road, Jordan, they were rolling to basically the top of the Eastern Conference. And because of this, they go and drop 3 points. They don't even get one. And to give up late equalizer, then to give up this goal, like it's going to leave a bad taste, I think, in Montreal's mouth. I don't take games to mean much going forward when you're a professional, and having played sports, there's not many times you go in the next game thinking about the last one. But it definitely can't feel good, Jordan, to have been in such a great situation they've been in, to go to Chicago, be up 3-1, heading into the 90th minute, they're up 3-2, and to lose. Like, that's just, it doesn't happen. This is one of the best comebacks I think I've ever seen in front of a Chicago Fire fan base that's, I think, getting a little bit more energized, Jordan. I think there are talks of a new stadium for Soldier Field, so I don't know if that means maybe the Fire get finally their own stadium if they can branch away from Soldier Field, a new Soldier Field, because it sounds like the city's willing to try to give them their own stadium. So I'm interested just to kind of see what that looks like. Maybe they build an indoor stadium, maybe not. But this is just a disaster. But probably the craziest goal I think we'll ever see in MLS. And I might be dumb in saying that because I'm sure that MLS will provide us with another lovely, beautiful goal. But this was easily one of the craziest goals I've ever seen. Because he's going so far away from the goal and has no intention of getting it near goal.
Yeah.
Goes to goal. It's like, what is this? So, but I love it.
That'd be Alan crazy Costa, to man. See. Crazy to see in person.
Yes.
All right. But there was a goal scored by Montreal. Was it the 70th minute goal, I think, when it made it 3-1?
Yeah.
It doesn't list the assist here, but this was a great assist by Joseph
Martinez.
Like,
yeah.
The back heel. Oh, yep. My goodness.
It was wonderful. Filthy. Filthy. He's looked better.
All for nothing, though.
That's true.
All right. So, yeah, that was a huge result there. At the same time that game's going on, you have DC United versus Inter Miami, which finished 3-1 to Inter Miami. DC started off well. But Jared Stroud scored a goal. Messi did not play. which we were expecting.
DC was rolling.
Yeah. But then here comes Luis Suarez. They put him in the game. In the, 62nd minute, he comes onto the field? Yeah, for Taylor. At that point, it's 1-1. Campagna scored in the 24th minute. And then Suarez scores in the 72nd, so 10 minutes after coming on. Then scores again in the 85th. Then you have Pedro Santos getting a red card in the 90th. Now, I texted you, Suarez, MVP? But after watching some of this game, I might have to rephrase that of, I don't know, Redondo, newcomer of the year? I mean, did you see the way he kept that ball alive for Campagna to get the goal? Yep. And then he does an assist here for Suarez as well. He looked pretty good.
Yeah, and I know a lot of the I've been one that's been questioning some of the choices that Miami's been making on Twitter and or X, and I've been reminded that, you know, they do have quite a bit of midfield depth, and Redondo joining, he can play kind of a forward midfield position as well. And yeah, he looked great, Jordan. And Campana, like, that is a weapon to have off of the bench. And somebody tweeted at me, are they the best tandem strikers in the league? If Suarez keeps playing like this, then yes. I would argue Christian Ramirez and Chucho would like a conversation, because I think right now, until you dethrone them, they're the best duo. But I would say Miami's up there, Jordan. And again, I do not question anything about their attacking players. I do think defensively, DC United, the two goals that Suarez does score weren't like your typical Suarez goals. They're
tappins. Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, they're pretty much just like, which is what you got to do.
Right. Yeah. 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 You do.
Some teams would kill for that. Yeah, but I mean, yeah.
But again, I would still, the one thing I still have very,
one was a tap and the other one he did, he
creates on his own. Yeah.
Yeah, but he could have shot it earlier, and then he like dribbles around a bit and then has to like lift it
and
over.
And the goalkeeper, Bono, should have had it, but he didn't. I still feel like, Jordan, though, like, one, the Messi thing's got to be concerned. It's that same muscle injury that he picked up in the preseason, I'm pretty sure. Like, he keeps having this same issue. And when you have soft muscle issues, like in soccer, like, that is just, it's kind of like when you get him in football, like American football, they just linger and they can become a problem. Now, I will say they've got the attacking forces to kind of help, but man, defensively, like that first 20 some odd minutes, DC was all, I thought Benteke was going to have a hat trick within the first like 25 minutes of the game, because he just had so many chances. Pedro Santos creating, like, they got really good creating, Mateusz Glik. Like, I just feel like, I don't know. I feel like Miami's defense is what's going to get them in trouble. Like, I really do. And Ferrier, I don't know how to say his last name. Ferrier, I believe.
Given up 5 goals, though, still at this point.
So. But he got hurt. Well, I mean, but then you got to also look at who's Miami's played. Like, it's not like they've run the gauntlet on teams that, I mean, Galaxy, Orlando sucks. Like, you look at Montreal, they've played teams that haven't really put together nice games yet, and it's still early in the season. But again, kudos to Miami's attack. I just think that the length of the season, and I'll ask you this because it was a question that they asked on the roundup, can Inter Miami win any of these competitions?
Yeah.
If they go after all of them.
No, I don't think they can. Well, they can win a competition. Like, it sounds like Tata says what the goal for Messi is to be able to play those CONCACAF games. I think that's what they're prioritizing right now, because that'd be a huge statement after a League's Cup to be like, okay, now we're actually also the best in CONCACAF. Like,
because then they can play Club World Cup, which I think is in the United States, isn't it, this year? Like,
In 2025, this, yes. Yeah. So it'll be in the U.S. and it'll be the first of the 32-team Club World Cups with City, Chelsea, Madrid, you know, all of these big teams coming over.
Which is their thought. They're like, if we can put, is it leading up to the World Cup, man, like, this is massive for MLS also.
Do you know who gets in if Monterrey wins?
If Monterrey wins, like, who gets in? Who
gets in a Club World Cup?
Imagine, is it the Revs?
It's the Union.
No way. Yeah. Is it really? That would be fun. That would be...
So all Union fans are rooting for Monterrey right now to win this whole thing. Okay. It's because of, like, Monterrey had already won it, so they're already qualified, so it goes to, like, the next coefficient or something. And, like, the FIFA website has this thing where it'll tell you who's currently qualifying, and Union are currently qualifying if Monterrey win it all.
That's crazy.
So, there you go. But, yeah, no, Miami would love to win that and be able to be with the big boys and face, like, a Manchester City or Chelsea or something. Yeah. They would love that.
But when you say that, the further that this goes into the season, the harder it becomes for Inter Miami to win a tournament because of the roster they've currently.
It only goes to June 8th. So, I mean, I think that's when they do the final.
Yeah. But I guess, mean, like, that, Leagues Cup, I don't.
2 months.
I don't know if Leagues Cup is necessarily. It can't be a priority if they keep going through CONCACAF Champions League. It'll run right up through it. Like, it'll run pretty close. I think CONCACAF Champions League will run pretty close. Like, what?
It ends in early June.
Okay.
CCC.
Leagues Cup.
Leagues Cup is late July.
Late July. So
they have time.
Okay.
I think they have a chance to actually win trophies. I do. Look, they're surprisingly at the top of the East. I am surprised by that. Though, they have a game. Columbus has a game in hand. And Columbus has the same points as them. So Columbus is doing just what they are supposed to be doing right now, which is great for Columbus. I know. I saw a sentiment that everybody is rooting against Miami, and I guess because of the big names, but
yeah,
people saying they want their league back. I think that stuff is dramatic. Are the Miami games priced more? Yes, I think that's the league's doing more than Messi's doing. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know what to tell you. You want to grow the sport, maybe? Some people may not. Some people might be happy with us just having our little niche corner of the soccer world and U.S. sports landscape. But I do want this league to be big. So at some point, you need to get these type of players in. I don't want it to be insanely priced like NFL games.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean,
it's got the attention.
Go ahead.
It's got the attention of, like, everybody. Like, Kevin De Bruyne is actively talked about how he'd rather play MLS than Saudi. Like, his move next for Manchester City is likely to be MLS because he doesn't want to play. Like, he doesn't want to go back to Germany. Like, he's made it adamant he doesn't want to go for Saudi. He'd like to go to a league that is growing, and he's made mention of MLS. So, I don't think it's going away. Once Messi leaves, people are like, oh, we're going to get our league back. I'm like, no, you're not. Like, if that's the way you think, like, there are going to be other international talent that have interest.
Like saying when Beckham left, people kept coming over here.
Zlatan. Like, Lorenzo Insigne, Bernadeschi.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Chiellini.
All the
like,
big names.
Hugo Lloris. But
Gareth Bale.
All right. Just keep going.
It'll still happen. Like, Griezmann wants to come over. He's been talking about that for like 5 years. Yeah. So he'll come over at some point.
Yeah. I could see Raheem Sterling coming over too. He's had eyeballs for the United States a couple times. So
Chelsea fans would be happy with that. I think they would not like the way he played today. Okay. How about Crew Red Bull New York? Crew beat them 3-0. Another red card in this match. Chucho has 3 goals and an assist. He got an assist in this game. Red Bull just really couldn't get it going. But Chucho scored. Jason Russell-Rowe scored. And Aiden Morris scored. I think as it stands right now, my player of the match day, I'd probably go with Chucho. Goal and assist. I know Luis Suarez scored 2, but just like actually watching the games, I feel like I'd have to lean more towards Chucho.
Yeah, and a Red Bull defense that's usually as stout as they come. I mean, that's a tough-ass defense to play against, and they made them look like a joke. It was like a walk in the park. And it goes without saying that, and it's the same thing Nashville struggles with. It's the same thing Red Bull have struggled with. It's the same thing a lot of these teams. Man, if they could just find a number 9 that does anything. Yep. Dante Manziel.
They got a number 10. They got to go get a number 9.
Yes. They've got one of the best.
When they had a 9... He was number 99, Bradley Wright Phillips. He was scoring goals for fun, and they were a good team. That's what they need to get back to. But yeah, Crew definitely still the best team in MLS. like we said, they're on pace to pass Miami right now. Points per game, 2.5. Same as Minnesota, but I'll put more stock in the Crew right now since they've historically been good. But Minnesota is a team that we, I think, have to start taking more notice of this year as well. That segues to Minnesota. They beat LAFC 2-0. So I saw that what Robin Lode scored like 17 minutes in, and we were both just like, wow, like that's crazy. And we were rooting for the Loons to beat LAFC. Love seeing some new, especially coach's first year, Eric Ramsey, first game in charge where he's actually on the touchline. And then, of course, you had Halongwe scoring in the 88th minute. He loves scoring late goals. He comes in for Pukki, scores a goal, seals the victory at 2-0 at a home game against LAFC. So I ask you, are the Loons actual contenders for the West? And should we be worried about LAFC?
Oh, both great questions, Jordan. I think I can be confident in saying right now that the Loons are the best team in the Western Conference, and by a long shot. I would say Vancouver would be next, obviously, and they're 1-2 right now in the Western Conference anyway. But right now, the Loons are playing at an astronomical level. Like they've scored 8 goals. They've only given up 4. Their defense looks pretty damn good. Dane St. Clair actually looks like he's kind of turned that corner. When you have Boxall, like I think we just ignored him for so long just because the Loons have been kind of irrelevant beside Adrian Heath. Speaking of which, Jordan, did you see Adrian Heath actually commented on the Loons, said that he was really excited about Eric Ramsey?
Yeah.
Thought that
he was on the MLS countdown.
Yes. Saw that he commented that Cameron Knowles did a fantastic job and that Elong Wayne's probably one of the more exciting players. And Jordan, those two will eventually start to get into that 1-2 double punch kind of discussion with Pukki and Elong Wayne. Like, I mean, Bongi is a phenomenal watch. And Jordan, they've done this without Emmanuel Reynoso. He's played 30 minutes this season in 4 matches. He came back and made his debut for 2024 against LAFC. And when he came on, it took it to a different level. This team, Jordan, and I texted Jack this, who are our friend that's a Loons fan for the podcast, been on the podcast. And he, you know, I've texted him and said, this team is like on a different level. And I know Minnesota fans are very hesitant about that because they're scared to jump on any kind of confidence they have in any of their sports teams because they do let you down quite a bit. And I know you and I have been kind of the same where we just wait for that Minnesota collapse. But I don't know, man. I don't think it's coming.
Adrian Heath isn't there is all I'm going to say.
But you look at the rest of the West, Jordan. How do you not favor them, right? Like, the rest of the West is kind of a mess.
No, I agree. The West has been such a confounding thing this year. And last year, too. But last year kind of still shook out pretty normally with Seattle and LAFC in the top 3. Right, St. Louis was the surprise team. This year, it's like Minnesota's on fire, Vancouver's on fire, Portland's playing well, LA Galaxy have been playing well. It's like, wow, all right, this is a very different year than what we were expecting going into it. So,
yeah. Now, LAFC, you asked, I'd be very worried because that's three matches now that they've gone without a goal.
Only scored 2.
Yeah. All season,
only scored 2 goals.
Right. And their defense does not look good, which, you know, they've never been the elite defense, but they've always had a pretty good defense. We have Ryan Lawler. Like, you've got good defenders. The concern for me is I don't think they've got that difference maker when Denny Belonga is not scoring goals. Like,
and he hasn't
don't
yet.
They don't have somebody else, I don't think, that's going to make that big of a step yet to be that – you know, Carlos, and people are like, well, let's go sign Carlos Vela. He's not the answer. Like, Carlos Vela is no longer the Carlos Vela of old. He's, you know, he's going to get you 8 to 10 goals and maybe 10
to 12. I think he'd still help
them. Right, he would help, yes, but I don't think he takes them. They're not better than Minnesota. Minnesota, it's like constant. They've got 12 different.
They need scores. They need scores like Pukki and Halongwe. That's what's really helping Minnesota right now.
Right. And they got
people like to put the ball in the net.
Right. Olubisai, like, Emmanuel Reynoso, Lud, like they just got it stacked. Sonny Dot, like they just got players out the ears in Minnesota, where that used to be Minnesota's, or that used, sorry, that used to be LAFC's thing. But Jordan, this team's not as deep as they were.
All right, let's talk Dallas, Vancouver. Vancouver, you've been on their train all season so far. They've got 7 points after two games. After three games, they're undefeated right now. They have not lost. Dallas, on the other hand, who you were also high on, 11th place in the West right now. They only have 3 points. They've really been short. What, they have the one win like week one, right? And since then, it's 3 straight losses.
Yeah.
For Dallas.
Yep.
And this game just didn't look good. Dallas has not really been working very well for them. You know who I did like getting a good goal in this? Fafa Pico. I liked that move. I liked that he scored. He made it 3-1 and kind of put the game to bed. But in the first 29 minutes, it was Laborda and Brian White scoring in the first 2 minutes. And Brian White had the assist on the Laborda goal as well.
Yeah, they were a team going in, Jordan, that I thought were going to be really good, especially in the attack, because last season they really started to turn it on towards the end of the season and made a case for being a contender in the Western Conference. They got, you know, they qualified for Champions League or Champions Cup. So, you know, playing a Tigres team and fighting pretty well in that first match where they don't really, you know, a lot of people would argue they didn't really belong. They made a case for themselves, and then they go in. Of course, they draw in their first game of the season, but they had that prolonged break before because they were the team that got shunned in the first week where they didn't get to play. Then they go and smash in San Jose and then go to Dallas, who I still think Dallas is a playoff team in the Western Conference just because of how bad the Western Conference is. But they do it to a defense that was also good last year. So that's where I'm like, dang, like Vancouver really is playing to a decent level here, and a level that we've not really seen them play much to be able to go to Dallas and pick up 3 important points, to play defense as well as they have been, because they're not really known for their defense. Vancouver's actually been a real struggle defensively for the last couple of years that we've covered them. Now they seem to have it somewhat stabilized. And I think Vanni Sartini is easily one of the most under-the-radar coaches that we have in this league. I don't think he gets talked about enough. And I think he's easily one of the best. Because I think if you look at this roster, Jordan, Vancouver is not necessarily the one that's the sparkling, dazzling. Like, this is, you know, they've got all these attacking options like a Minnesota or LAFC or Seattle. Vancouver just does it with guys they've had for quite some time and they've developed on their own. So, and then to get, like you said, that Fafa Pico goal, if he can be that consistent winger or off the bench piece, man, he just adds depth to this roster that was already pretty deep. So I'm really excited that Vancouver is playing well, because I think it's a tough place to play. It's tough to go to Vancouver and win, and they've traveled well so far. So yeah, no, I'm really impressed with this team, and I try to watch them any chance I get. They've become my guilty pleasure team. I just love rooting for them.
By the way, I just want to say Tom Bogert tweeted out, Josh Sargent and Luca Della Torre had to pull out of the Nations League squad due to injury. So Brandon Aaronson and Haji Wright are who are added in those two.
Decent replacements.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Vancouver's been fun to watch. Sebastian Legette scored a goal. Peter Musa, man, he had a really bad miss. Just didn't hit it right. It went way off of his foot into the stands. Can't really crucify him for that. It is what it is. We're probably not even really great chances. Just at least put it on goal, see what happens. All right. So you had a question here for me, I guess.
Yep.
If you want to go ahead and ask it before answer.
Yeah, so you got to ask me, because you didn't really get to talk too much to it, so I'm kind of glad that you didn't. Jordan, are you more concerned with, and we haven't talked about the Seattle match that they've just played, so we can kind of jump into Seattle because we've got some notes on them, but there wasn't really much to note about that match. Are you more concerned about the two giants in the West, LAFC or Seattle? Who are you concerned most with? Because I feel like they're both really struggling to do what they normally do.
Concerned more about LAFC. I know that sounds crazy because they have two more points, right? They've played one more game. But they've given up 6 goals. Seattle's only given up 3. They've both only scored 2 goals. But I'd rather score 2 and give up 3 than score 2 and give up 6. From what I've seen of Seattle, they have the opportunities. They're not fully converting them. Or they'll be in good positions and then will unravel to give up a goal, give up an equalizer type thing. This goal game in particular, they had been doing, they did well enough to get the penalty. They scored it. They were playing pretty okay. It kind of flipped like right before the red card into the Rapids starting to really put on pressure. Then the Rapids get a penalty. They get let off the hook. They save it, right? But then they kept pelting the goal, pelting the goal, pelting the goal, and eventually it broke through. I guess you could say I should be more concerned with Seattle because actually they're going to go without De La Vega for 6 to 8 weeks. But I think they're only missing him for 6 to 8 weeks. I think LAFC is going to miss Vela the whole season. Like, I don't think they're signing him. And I think he's been a part of that club the whole time. This is an adjustment period for them, seeing how they do. Bowanga still hasn't scored. I'd be worried about that. Rui Diaz has scored this season, so they're kind of getting him on the right track. I don't know. I'm more concerned about LAFC because I feel like they're a team that should be top of the West. That's what their standards are. And the fact that they're struggling this much early on here, if I'm an LAFC fan, I'd be a little bit more worried than if I was a Seattle fan.
No, those are all good points. And, you know, you look at what I look at too, Jordan, that I think Seattle is always going to be much better than LAFC is defensively. I think, you know, Seattle's arguably got one of the better defenders in the back, Nuhu. Like, so I really do. I think that Seattle's built better defensively. And we've seen that, where if you don't defend in this league, you'll get absolutely destroyed because teams will score. Like, teams will take advantage of that. And especially some of the people that have surprised in the West this year, like the LA Galaxy, like Pookie and Minnesota, like Vancouver. Like, you've got teams that are going to be able to score at will now. You can't concede goals. And I think LAFC will. And I don't know if, Jordan, I don't know if they've got the experience. And then there's always that fact that I think Denny Bouanga, Jordan, I don't think he makes it through the summer. If they play uninspired, I guess, I think there's a lot of new pieces, a lot of young guys in this LAFC squad that are learning the ropes of the league. I'd much rather be in Seattle's position, where at least if they're injured, I've got guys that replace them that are experienced in this league. And I think that's always done better than people trying to figure out the ropes of the league and seeing if they actually fit in this league. Because people always say it, and Suarez has said it, Messi has said it, Gonzalo Higuain said it back in the day, Lorenzo, this is not an easy league to learn. It is physical, it is tough, it is constantly fast and fast-paced. So I'd be much more worried, I think, if I was LAFC, just because I think there's a higher expectation for LAFC because of the money they can spend than sometimes I think Seattle. So I think there's a lot more pressure on LAFC because they've got the bigger pockets. There is pressure always on Seattle because they've always been the giants in the league, but they always seem to right the ship. And I think Brian Schmetzer is more experienced in riding the ship than like a Steve Cherundolo. So I think that's ultimately what it boils down to, is defense and that experience. I think Seattle's got the advantage and they just defend better. So I think we'll kind of see, but I just want to get your thoughts because I know you voiced your concern big time about LAFC, and I want to get your thoughts on Seattle because I know we haven't really discussed much of them this year because they've not really done a whole lot, but also they're kind of always a wait and see team because of the experience and some of the injuries they've picked up.
Yeah, all true. Okay, some other stuff that happened. Houston beat Portland 1-0. Timbers outshot their opponent 17-9, but of course Houston, the Ben Olsen special, wins that game. Austin 2, Philly 2. I kind of talked about this. I think I talked about it like last week, but or maybe it was the week before that, that when you're in all these tournaments the way the Union are, I'm fine as a Union fan to just keep getting draws at the beginning of the season while you're balancing the other stuff. Now that we're out of the Champions Cup, I'm hoping they start to find their form, right? Like, I'm hoping, okay, we got 3 points, right? We got 4 points or whatever it is. How many games have we played? We didn't play against Seattle. We played 5 minutes against them. So Union have 3 points, matches. Three games.
Yeah.
They haven't won. They haven't lost. I'll take it. But it started looking a little sad when, like, the Union took the lead right after halftime. Austin scores, boom, boom, right? Twice. You're like, ah, oh, here we go. The defense is a problem for Philly right now. I don't know what's going on there. The defense isn't playing well. So I'm a little worried about that. But Austin, you know, they got a point too. They've really been struggling this season as well. Where do they sit? They sit 12th. They have 3 points. They have three draws. One loss. They haven't won yet either. So a little rough there. Yeah, and then we also had SKC beat San Jose. San Jose still has no points on the season. 4 losses, 9 goals given up, 3 goals scored, -6 goal differential. They're a team I'm really concerned about. They started off hot last year, then they struggled. Now they're just struggling.
And they've got no options. Yeah. Like, they really, their roster is not good. Like, I if Jeremy Abobas, he's not playing well, Christian Espinosa, like, those guys are yeah that's tough.
Yeah, not good. Nashville wins against Charlotte 2-1. Alex Moule scored, Sam Surridge scored. Sam Surridge had a really great header. First win of the season for Nashville. NYCFC, they get their first points of the season. They score 2 goals. They beat Toronto 2-1. Toronto had the lead, and I was like, oh, another NYCFC failure here. Toronto's on fire. NYCFC got it. Keaton Parks, though, got a red card in the 68th minute. They were still able to hold on to that win.
Santi Rodriguez had a hell of a free kick outside the box.
Yes. Yes, he did.
2 goals in 2 games. And Kalen Kyle talked about it because just 2 matches before was when he blew up. I forget who they were playing. Was it the Red Bull or not Red Bull?
Yeah, at the assistant coach or something. Yes. Right?
Yeah, got into it with the assistant coach, kind of got into a yelling match. So it's good to see him play because he's the lone person on that team, I think, that's superstar caliber.
Yeah.
The whole old player. I don't think anybody else holds that mantle there, but
and then we, like you said, Seattle won, Colorado won. There was another red card there. LA Galaxy, St. Louis. This was like game of the week, by the way. 3-3. Jovalic scoring. You know, early on, that was great. Paintsill scored, which was great. Goal of the week, by the way, maybe goal of the season, Nilsson's goal. Joachim Nilsson, a defender who does like a bicycle kick into the back of the net. That was absolutely beautiful. Then there was an own goal on John McCarthy. That was
unfortunate. Yeah, that was not good. That was just, I think that's a hard one though. Cause like you're in that mess trying to punch a ball away and it accidentally hits the back of your hand and goes, if it hits anywhere else on his hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes.
Well, you know, so here, you want to know something funny? So they added on Memento where you can create your own mementos now for games that haven't been added yet. So I was adding a lot of my Baltimore Bohemian games from 2012 when I volunteered there. Okay, first game of the season before I volunteered there, my dad and I went to go is the day Chelsea won the Champions League in 2012. Then we go and see Bows versus Ocean City Nor'easters, right? Guess who's the starting goalkeeper for Ocean City Nor'easters that day? John McCarthy. Yeah. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's so cool. I love John McCarthy. Like,
I knew he played for them at one point. I had no clue it was when I was at the game. That was really cool.
So, I love Joe. I think he's a very solid goalkeeper.
Union goalkeeper.
Yeah, I was going to say, usually a backup, but I think he's good enough. Like, I do. I think he's solid.
Yeah. He's especially good at like penalty shootouts and stuff. Yeah. LA Galaxy, 9 goals for, 7 goals assist, 4th in the East, in the Western Conference. St. Louis did their best to hang in there and come back time and time again to get the draw. LA Galaxy got a red card. They were still able to hold on and get that point. They probably wish that they could have saw out the 3-2 result, but yeah, it is what it is. But they've been a lot of fun. Paint Sill's been a great add to the league. So,
yeah.
All right. So let me just run through the standings here. Eastern Conference, Miami in first. They've played one more game than Columbus, who's in second. They both have 10 points. Montreal in third with 7. Toronto in fourth with 7. Red Bulls in fifth with 7 points. Nashville in sixth with 6 points. Cincinnati in seventh with 5 points. DC in eighth with 5. Chicago in ninth with 4. Charlotte in 10th with 4. Atlanta in 11th with 3. They've only played 2 matches. NYCFC in 12th with 3 points. Philly in 13th with 3. Orlando in 14th with 1. New England Revolution in 15 with 0 points. Now, again, we're recording this on Sunday before the game start at 2-7. New England could get some points against Cincinnati, and Orlando could get some points against Atlanta or vice versa. So hold on to that. Western Conference, Minnesota sits top with 10 points. Vancouver in second with 7. Portland in third with 7. LA Galaxy in fourth with 6. St. Louis in fifth with 6. SKC in sixth with 6. Colorado in 7th with 5, RSL in 8th with 4, Houston in 9th with 4, LAFC in 10th with 4, Dallas in 11th with 3, Austin in 12th with 3, Seattle in 13th with 2, and San Jose in 14th with 0 points. We still have 2 teams with 0 points as of this recording. All right, so the schedule coming up. This Thursday, U.S. versus Jamaica at 7 o'clock. At AT&T Stadium for CONCACAF Nations League. Panama versus Mexico follows at 10:15. Then on Saturday, March 23rd, we have New England Revolution versus Chicago at 2. New York and Miami also at 2 o'clock. That's Red Bulls, not NYCFC. Then the 7:30 games. Charlotte and Columbus. Cincy, New York City. Orlando, Austin. Toronto, Atlanta. Vancouver, RSL. Then, that one's free, by the way, Vancouver RSL. 8:30, SKC LA Galaxy. St. Louis, D.C. Then at 9:30, we have Colorado, Houston. 10:30, we have LAFC, Nashville, Portland, Philly, San Jose, Seattle. You got a particular game there that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I think the most obvious one for me was the Red Bull versus Miami. I think that one will be interesting no matter if Messi's playing or not. I think Miami's proven that they can compete with just about any team in this league if they're healthy and they're playing well. So I'm looking forward to that. Red Bull really were awful against the Crew. Jordan, I just saw that MLS Gone Wild just tweeted that Emil Forsberg had 38 touches, which is the lowest that he's had, which was ultimately, I think, due to the fact that the Crew are so good. Like, I doubt any other team really does that to Forsberg. But the Crew just create so many problems defensively in the midfield and in the attacking front. Like, they're a hot mess to deal with. But, yeah, I think that this could be a good bounce-back match. I think this is actually a place where Miami might drop some points, especially if they're just trying to get Messi healthy for CONCACAF. So, yeah, I think this is an opportunity for the Red Bull to say, you know what, no, we are a team that can be a threat in the Eastern Conference. Yes, we don't have that prolific goal scorer we need. But I think Red Bull, if I'm going to bet on any of them to come out of that weird funk where they rely too much on their sister club, Red Bull's the one that I think comes out of it. Like, I don't see NYCFC being the threat in New York. I think it'll definitely be Red Bull. But they just need a 10 to 12 goal scorer, because I think Forsberg adds his own. And then you've got a comparable. Isn't Kyoto still a free agent or something like that? Carlos Vela, that'd be a lot of fun. Take him to Red Bull.
Yeah.
Somebody like that. Like, hell, your boy Rommel, he'd be great there. I don't know where he's playing now, but
yeah,
I never saw if he ever signed anything. So I don't know. I'm just throwing names out there because I think Red Bull need a striker. But I'm looking forward to this because Red Bull are good defensively, and that press against Miami's European style of play, I think that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, let me see.
Price still Portland, yours.
Portland Philly is fun.
That's exciting.
Because yeah, like, I feel like we play them every year for some reason. But let's see.
SKC LA Galaxy, maybe?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, that one seems pretty interesting. Especially in Kansas City.
Yeah. Vancouver RSL, that's got some interesting flair to it.
That's why it's free. They're like, oh, Vancouver's been good. We'll give them that one.
And RSL is always good, so.
Yeah, so there you go. I think those are some pretty interesting games. I just want to say that I also saw that apparently Fabrizio is saying that Kevin Sullivan yeah. is signing a deal with NYCFC soon or in talks to
Manchester City.
Oh yeah, Manchester City. Sorry, but people think that he might get loaned out to NYCFC. And if that's the case,
ain't no way.
You don't think so?
Nope.
He's 14. He's not playing at. He's not playing at City.
No, he's gonna. No, he's gonna. They'll send him to China or Australia. They'll send him to one of their other clubs. There ain't no way in hell he'll play with NYCFC.
I wouldn't be shocked.
A 14-year-old? That'd be wild. That would suck. I mean, he may not play right away, but
they might loan him out there at some point, right?
But they always sign these wonder kids. That's why I tweeted off our account. They always sign these wonder kids, and you never hear from them again. Like, City's got a Brazilian team now. I could see him going there. Like, they've got different. He'll play somewhere else, not.
Yeah, he's not going to play in Manchester unless he proves himself at these other locations.
No.
And
he's not.
It does suck. What really sucks is the Union are never going to see the fruits of these kids that they're producing. We barely got to use Paxton. We barely got to use Brendan Aronson. And it looks like we're not going to be, but I don't know if he's like, he wasn't as hyped as all these others, I don't think.
Yeah. But I mean, you know what I was saying, like Jack McClinn, Quinn Sullivan, Nathan Harriel, they're all going to be gone within the, you know.
You think they all will? I don't know about that. I think we'll be able to sign a few of them to stay a little longer. They're all so young.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. Like, they were quick to get off Paxton. Although I will say, the benefit the Union have is they do have an aging roster. So maybe they go the other route. Maybe they go more of a route of, you know, next time they hit refresh, because they're going to hit refresh on this team soon. The next time they hit that refresh, it could be this year, like where they start to go, you know what, let's play some of the kids. Because it's, I don't know, it's a lot of competitions. This is the Union's last year, I got to think, with this current build.
It's going to be their last year ever. I mean, if they
can't get rid of the team.
No, I was just saying, like, what I mean by that is, like, if with the end of this core, I don't know if they're actually going to put together another core. That's what I worry about. Like,
oh, it'll be tough.
Sometimes I feel like they lucked into what they had and now they're like stuck, especially because they did end up selling Paxton and Brendan. It's like, now you don't even have anybody to take over that, I guess. And if you do sell like McGlynn and Quinn and all that, then you're looking at a lot of. I don't know. They're using the academy to fund so many good things,
that's
right?
True.
Like they're going to build up more of Chester in that area for like youth stuff and all that kind of stuff. When I was there, the place I parked in before last year, like last year where I parked in, wasn't there anymore because they built all these great fields. What they really need to do though is pave the driving area, because that is, and pave some of those lots, because those are messes. But anyway, do that with your Kevin Sullivan money, please.
Yeah. Or give Logan the cash. I'm coming up there in April, so just give me the
yes. Yeah, Logan will be up here in April. We're going to hopefully see Union ourselves.
Cubs, baby.
And an Orioles game. So,
as long as it doesn't rain.
Yeah. All right. So you can follow us at Stateside Show on all of our social media, statesideshow@gmail.com. If you want to send us any sort of feedback, like and subscribe to us here on the YouTube channel. You can also comment below. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Like we said, this was recorded Sunday. It's going up Sunday, probably before these games even come up, if I can get this out quick enough. And we'll talk about those games, if any. We'll talk about the scores at least next week. If any big thing happened, we'll talk about, like, oh my God, did you see the fight that happened in Orlando, Atlanta?
Yeah. Joseph Martinez now, came back and he...
What I expect, Logan, is if a fight actually does break out tonight during that game, I want you to clip that and just put it up on the Twitter. Just like, can you believe the fight that happened in that
game? Yeah, I got it. They are rivals. They don't like each other.
I know.
I hope they don't fight. That'd be mean.
And then we'll be back next week talking about the weekend action, CONCACAF, Nations League, all that good stuff. So make sure you keep with us on that. I am going on vacation, so I'm going to try not to think about podcasting at all. Have a great rest of your week. We'll catch you next time.